Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
If you were to tell someone you wanted to talk about the water crisis in the Chicago area, you shouldn't be surprised if they ask, which one? Is it lead in the drinking water in Chicago and elsewhere? Is it residents and municipalities unable to pay their water bills? Or is it flooding every time it rains heavily? The challenges flow freely when the subject is clean water or the lack of it. And this weekend, we're going to talk about those challenges. I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. The Chicago metropolitan area sits along Lake Michigan, one of the Great Lakes, and rivers run through the area, so there's a lot of water. But keeping the water clean and getting it safely to where it needs to go and keeping it from where it shouldn't be isn't always easy. It's called water management, which sounds kind of boring unless you're standing ankle deep in your basement or worried if it might make your kids ill or if you don't have any because you couldn't pay the bill. Well, my guests this weekend are three people with three different perspectives on these challenges. Mary Sue Barrett is the president of the Metropolitan Planning Council, an independent planning and policy organization. Naomi Davis is founder and president of Blacks in Green, an environmental group trying to foster green, self-sustaining communities for African Americans. And Karen Kreiss is a village trustee in South Suburban Midlothian that some people every once in a while call Flood Lothian. She chairs the Economic Development Committee there, and we are coming to you from all over via Zoom conferencing, and I thank all three of my guests for joining me. It's good to see all of you, albeit via Zoom. Mary Sue Barrett, I'm going to start with you. The Planning Council's been watching the waters for years, but people don't talk about it much in the public forums. Have these issues just been overlooked by the general public?
We do tend to take our water realities and future for granted, perhaps except when we're consumed by a pandemic and by racial equity concerns, and then suddenly they become very important. Our coastal cities and regions have thought very much about their futures being tied to water. We tend to think because we sit on the Great Lakes that we've got that covered, but we have those layers and layers of challenges that you describe. Today with COVID-19 and multiple other public health concerns, we're supposed to be cleaning our hands, cleaning our homes more frequently. And so water being a basic human right is something that is much more top of mind and is a great urgency for independent change makers like the Metropolitan Planning Council.
And what are how serious are the problems that we're facing right now?
Well, I'd start with affordability. When you think about the basic household costs, paying for your housing, your transportation and your food, those are often the big three. But one of the things that came out of a study that the Metropolitan Planning Council did last year was that water rates have been creeping up, in some cases leaping up, at a much higher rate than inflation. So between 2008 and 2018, how much you pay for your water went from $4 to $7 on average per 1,000 gallons, which is adjusted for inflation. So it's eating into a much bigger share of the pocketbook. We also calculated how much it takes for, you know, for someone just to pay for their water bill when you think about your hours worked, and it's about 11 hours a month just to pay for your water bill. So suddenly something which used to be not as big of a concern, just even from the cost perspective, and then we get also into all sorts of other issues that I'm looking forward to talking to my colleagues about equity, about public health, and about the potential to turn this set of challenges into actually an opportunity for us.
Well, when we're talking about affordability, among other things, this is where we want to bring in Naomi Davis. Blacks in Green has been promoting sustainability since before sustainability was cool. But when we're dealing with affordability for low-income neighborhoods, the problems are affordability and health and accessibility, right?
Indeed. And thanks for shining a light on water. It's definitely a priority. The Black Chicago Water Council has been convening on our one-stop utility shut-on Saturdays on the front lines here, down here in the community of Woodlawn, serving folks whose water has been shut off. You'll note that the mayor's moratorium on shutoffs did come, and rightly so, but what's most people, residents here in Chicago, don't know is that there are untold thousands of people whose water was shut off at the time of the moratorium. And unfortunately, our operations at the City of Chicago Department of Water and its trifurcated system, if I can call it that, the Department of Finance, third party collection agencies, and the Water Department are not coordinated. They are not synchronized. They're not aggregating data. They're not keeping data up to date. They're not sharing that data between FOIAs and years and years and years of public body requests for information. We are still unable to accurately identify the households in our thriving, bustling metropolis who are using the water of their neighbors or going to public parks or, using bottled water, which they are hard pressed to secure. So our Saturday clinic works with people at the level of bring your water bill. We can sit with you, make a call to the water department as your ombudsman, we'll work with you. It's not easy to navigate the barriers associated with getting a customer service representative on the line who is completely up to date on the programs, the utility bill relief programs that have been put in place, who sometimes are lacking the spirit of cooperation. Chicago is well known for a long history of racist, misogynist, xenophobic culture inside of the Water Department. Randy Connor, who just left and retired at the end of December as Chicago's Water Commissioner, opens up the opportunity for us. And we at Black Chicago Water Council have jumped on the opportunity to begin a public process of identifying, recruiting, inciting, and hearing from neighbors. What do we want for our next Chicago water commissioner? What the spectrum of problems, we can talk about those, are profound. Transforming a culture doesn't happen overnight. We're tickled pink to say that we had our first public convening. First Tuesday of every month is our Black Chicago Water Council public meeting. And we had 40 or so people weighing in on what they thought we needed to have in our next Chicago Water Commissioner. The system right now is broken. The city does acknowledge that. We are trying to work very closely with the mayor's office, and Angela Tovar, our chief sustainability officer, has been fantastic, but she's new. There's a big system that's already moving and broken. And so we have volunteers coming in. We work closely with Elevate Energy to distribute water every Saturday.
Ms. Davis, can I hold you up for a second? Because I want to get to some of the solutions that we can bring to this, but I sure. also want to bring in Karen Christ to talk about the other.
Well, you got me going, Craig. I couldn't help myself. Sorry.
Oh, and we love it. So, but Karen Christ, for suburban officials like yourself, questions about whether there will be enough water persist. But as in the case of Midlothian, at least a couple of years ago, there was way too much water. How are you dealing with that? And is affordability an issue there too?
Craig, it is. Thank you for asking. And actually, before the pandemic, Midlothian started exploring other options as to how we could obtain water at a more reasonable and level rate. We receive our water from the City of Chicago through the Midmark Water Commission, which is Midlothian and our neighbor, the City of Markham. And we purchase it directly from the City of Chicago. And everyone knows that we are getting annual increases from the City of Chicago. So we've explored obtaining water from another source, the Southland Water Agency. And we're moving forward on that. We are not a founding partner, but we would be a user so that we could level off the costs that are passed on to our residents. And of course, all the infrastructure has to be built. So from my perspective, when the pandemic started, the Village of Midlothian decided to stop water shutoffs, waive late fees. We've had to kind of revisit that because, again, small municipality, 14,800. We still have to pay the water bill. We have to pay the Midmark Water Commission every month. And we are strapped financially. And again, water is an enterprise fund. So you can only use water revenue for water. But those are things that we've had to address. And so looking at this other option, is there another way that we can join with other municipalities to obtain water cheaper as we look 50 years out, 100 years out? But yes, I deal with clean water and I deal with a lot of dirty storm water. So I've worked very closely since 2015 with our resident action group, Flood Lothian, Midlothian, and it was started by five residents. I know Senator Durbin, when we were meeting with him at the Center for Neighborhood Technology to give testimony on the Urban Flooding Awareness Act, he said, "I'm never going to forget that name." He was impressed. And we always have shirts that say Flood Lothian, Midlothian. But because of this resident action group, Midlothian's flooding issues have been taken very seriously. And I think that's one of the reasons that I'm here today is because Midlothian is recognized as a leader because of this volunteer, this resident action group. And we've had a great partner with the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago. We have a $7.6 million project, construction project underway now on Natalie Creek that's going to relieve flooding for about 250 residents. It's not going to solve all of our flooding problems. Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning has been a great partner through a local technical assistance grant. They hired an engineering firm, and we now have a stormwater management capital plan that identifies 37 needed projects. So it's taken us a long time to get to this point, but there's really no coordinated effort as to how you solve flooding. There's many, many agencies that are involved, and there's no one agency that has all of the money that's necessary to solve our flooding issues.
That's actually tying into some of what we heard from Naomi. Mary Sue Barrett, I haven't even raised what may be the most expensive issue that we're dealing with, and that's lead. Health issues are driving that, but Chicago wants to get rid of its lead water supply lines. I think other places that have them also want to do that. Now, I know that some municipalities don't have to worry about that because it was mandated in Chicago that they had to have lead lines, which, you can go way back into history to figure out what the heck was going on with that. but other places don't have that problem. But still, we're talking about billions of dollars, Mary Sue.
It's daunting.
Yes. Is this a problem that can be solved?
Absolutely, and must be. So often we think of challenges as these insurmountable mountains to climb. Our lead challenge is one that I'm excited about, could actually bring us together, create some small business creation opportunities, some employment opportunities, public health benefits, kind of jumpstarting the economy. It is a massive problem. There is no level of lead exposure that is safe, zero. So because this was a required plumbing product in Illinois through the 1980s, it is everywhere. We did a study recently and documented that there are at least 686,000 lead pipes statewide between the pipe that goes under the street to deliver the water from the source to the neighborhood. But then the lead service line, what we're referring to is that it's the pipe that connects from the street to your home or from the street to your apartment. And so we are literally poisoning ourselves when we don't, when we fix the pipe under the street, but we don't fix the delivery pipe. And so understanding that a crisis like Flint, Michigan's is the sobering call for why we have to be proactive, and that there's communities of a modest size like Evanston, Madison, Wisconsin, who have figured it out. But when you get to the scale of metropolitan Chicago or Illinois, and you know that 95% of the places where the lead pipes are predominantly communities of color, you can't just say, hey, homeowners, it's up to you to replace, because you will deepen the equity challenges. The good news is that your guests here today were part of an ecosystem of organizations that care a lot about being proactive about this issue. Federal, state, and local officials are paying attention. There is a fragile proposal that's been brokered. We need to do a lot more work on. But the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus, when they had a package in January, it was in that initial package. So there's been some momentum. There's been some interest on the part of people like Senator Duckworth in Congress. Congresswoman Kelly have been leaders on this. There's some small pilot programs in the city of Chicago. As you say, Craig, the problem in part is money, but communities like Hazelcrest in the south suburbs, the city of Chicago, there's lots of pockets of innovation. And I think if we can think about this as part of equitable recovery, our lead challenge will turn from that mountain into something that could actually be an opening for us to do something comprehensive and fair.
Naomi Davis, I'm going to want to get your take on what's going on. But right now, reminding our listeners, you're listening to News Radio 780's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore, and we are talking about water management, which is more exciting than the title sounds, and the challenges that demand such management. My guests are Mary Sue Barrett, president of the Metropolitan Planning Council, Karen Kreis, a Midlothian Village trustee, and very active in water issues, and Naomi Davis, the president of Blacks and Green. And Naomi, the issue, we use the term equity, but basically we're talking about that there are a lot of people, Black and brown people, who are in these neighborhoods, who have these service lines, and lead is a serious health issue there. How satisfied are you with what's been done to this point and what needs to be done?
Well, Craig, when you look at the size of the problem and the size of the solution that's being proposed, there's a tragic mismatch. The small amount of money that the city has pulled down in this first tranche or opening salvo is only sufficient to serve, I think, 70, 80,000 households out of many hundreds of thousands. The administration of the program is is another issue. The core concern of environmental justice communities is that CDBG funds are not appropriate for the management by the water department. They don't have experience managing these kinds of funds and programs. And so we're looking structurally at how do we put together a process that that is not voluntary, for one thing, that provides the upfront subsidies that Black and Brown communities deserve, and that is really planned where economies of scale can be recognized rather than sort of ad hoc, sort of spot checking where the work will be done. And I'll say something else, which is Blacks in Green has a program called Sustainable Southside, which is a path to 100% employment on Chicago's South and West Sides via the new green economy by 2025. And we're 2 years into this program, and we're looking very seriously at the very deep and rich opportunities that exist right now to put African-American communities to work. Water infrastructure is conservatively estimated at $20 billion over the next 20 years. Who's going to do that work? We know that historically, the African-American community has had issues with organized labor. Will we have the plumbers, the pipe fitters, the pile drivers, the operating engineers? Do we have a pipeline coming from our schools? Do our children know anything at all about water infrastructure, the risk that African-American communities suffer first and worst in times like now during a pandemic, where if we look forensically at how federal and other dollars are being invested, how vaccines are being distributed, are we really seeing equity happen on the ground in real time? I offer that that's actually not the case. So educating our children, walking our walk, putting that pipeline together that is going to lead to a transformational economic boon in Black communities, not just with jobs, but with contractors who have successfully bid and are executing contracts with the municipality, as well as with the householders who are getting the incentives and the discounts and upfront dollars that they deserve. These are all core questions, and we're happy to say that Blacks in Green and our water allies in the field are hard at work on those. New commissioner is a top priority as well.
Okay. Karen Kreis, for suburban communities, and you were talking about the capital investment that would be needed for the new infrastructure in your area if you go with the independent water system. Do issues of equity come up there? Do you have contact with others? Your suburb is able to pay its water bills right now, albeit it's difficult. But, you know, what do you see out there about suburbs that haven't been able to? I mean, there are suburbs that owe the city of Chicago millions of dollars.
They do. And I can understand how that happens. We've tried to be sympathetic to our residents that have been unable to pay their bills. Like I said, we had for a while waived the late fees. But again, we have to continue to pay our bill to the Midmark Water Commission every month. And Midlothian has always been really good about paying our bills. But I do understand that families are struggling. I see it every day. People reach out to me. They're looking for resources. So it's happening all over. We're a middle income, moderate income suburb. And so people are really struggling. The pandemic has hit very heavily. But when we talk about infrastructure, and I know we do have lead service lines as well, you know, we how are we going to fund replacement of those? And it's, you know, it's akin to an unfunded mandate. And are we going to get federal funding to help us with those issues? And maybe Mary Sue can address that.
Well, the question is, Mary Sue, how can there be any action on any of these fronts without federal help? And we've got a federal government right now that is strapped dealing with the pandemic, among other things.
Well, by understanding that water is integral to everything. And I want to point out that each part of this conversation has drawn out equity as a concern about the fundamental unfairness to our systems, whether you're talking about where flooding occurs, where the affordability pinches are, where public health, COVID problems are the most serious. And the moment that we're facing is when we have an administration and a Congress who are all in agreement that infrastructure is one of the smartest ways to jumpstart the economy. What we fund and how we distribute those resources must change. And so in the past, if some people thought, oh, infrastructure, they mean transportation, it's a much broader perspective. And so we need to protect people where they're at now. There's protections against rent evictions. We need to see comprehensive protections against water shutoffs. And then we need to be proactive to say that investment, like Naomi was talking about, in the businesses and the people and the communities can happen through a federal, state, local package that's coordinated. In the past, we haven't always leveraged. I think that the state of Illinois can be a more active partner with local communities like Midlothian that are struggling. So that trillion or 2 trillion that Congress is kicking around can be deployed in significant part to address these challenges that will help our communities be able to redesign for the future, and as President Biden says, build back better.
We've only got a minute or so left, but are there specific laws that are needed either at the state level or at the local level? Is anybody, you know, looking toward Springfield for anything?
Yeah, and some of them aren't laws. You know, we've asked collectively, we've asked Governor Pritzker to do a moratorium on water shutoffs. There's some legal question in his administration's mind, but we've seen other states do it. And so we should do it in Illinois.
Let me ask a quick question here, though. What do you do about the people that Naomi deals with every weekend, which is the people whose water is already shut off? How do you go back and deal with them? Naomi, is there a way?
Well, I think that we're between a rock and a hard place because the data, we've got to assume that the data that is not being shared is data that either does not exist or is not accurate or is hopelessly jumbled. And so we're really looking at a from scratch a solution that we have to build here in Chicago. And not to be a broken record, but to be a broken record, we need the kind of commissioner who is going to insist that, you know, that this culture of punishing the poor just be transformed, be reversed. The idea that we've got third-party collection agencies who are profiting from the loss of people with their water bills. We've got a City of Chicago water ordinance floating right now. Many of us are working to improve it, and we believe that, you know, this is a new day, and all great things are possible.
That's going to have to be the final word. I want to thank my guests. What a great discussion this has been. That was Naomi Davis of Blacks in Green. We have also been joined by Midlothian trustee Karen Kreis and Mary Sue Barrett of the Metropolitan Planning Council. Thank you, all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To your, our listeners, if you'd like a copy of this program or to hear it again, please visit our website. It's WBBMNewsRadio.com. You can also find our podcast on radio.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue. I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Dellamore, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.